Once again, we turn to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We began a series of messages that will be focusing on verse 30. We read along with verse 30, 29, and 31. Last week you spent our time considering the introduction to these four points given in verse 30 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I brought forth the word wisdom, the wisdom that we have that is in Christ Jesus. Not a wisdom of our own, not some way that we just all of a sudden decided I'm going to be a smarter person than I was before. It's a wisdom that we can only find in the Creator. Look with me, if you would, at verses 29, 30, and 31. That no flesh should glory in His presence. Read that again. That no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now I want you to look back at verse 28, because we began this with that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him. Well, who is this his presence? Who is this but of him? 28, we read these words, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God. Hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in His, in God's presence. But of Him, but of God. We read, no flesh should glory in His presence. It's speaking about in the presence of God, right? Isn't that what you read there too? But of Him, of God the Master, of the One, of God who is the Creator, we are in Christ Jesus the Lord, of Him, it says. Did you get that? We're not in Christ Jesus, the Lord, because we decided to get into the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Right. We're not in Jesus Christ because we've made a decision to start following Him. We are not in Jesus Christ because we got into a baptismal and got baptized. We're not in Jesus Christ because we decided to come to the table. We're not in Jesus Christ by any other reason than that by Him. Yeah. By God. The very one that is spoken of back there in verse 28. Hath God chosen. He's chosen these things that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. We are found in Christ and only in Him. By Him. By God the Father. So then we read in verse 9, Romans chapter 9, verse 16, so then it is not of him that willeth. That's what I was just explaining. It's not of us. It's not of our free will. It's not something we've decided. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. That's somebody who goes about earning their salvation by, I'm such a nice person.
Right.
I've gone out and helped people three times this week. I didn't raise the number one finger to that guy who cut me off this week. See how good I am? It's not of him that runneth. I don't care what good you think you're doing, it is not of him that runneth. That's God's word.
Right.
You don't like that? Well, then you don't like God's word.
That's right.
That's plain and simple, folks.
Mm-hmm.
But God. But of God. That showeth mercy. We so want, don't we? We so want in our heart to say, I found Jesus.
Huh.
Don't tell me you don't. You may not now, but you did at one time.
Yeah.
Oh, how many people go through this world thinking they're going on to heaven because they found Jesus when they wanted to. Oh, how we say in our hearts, I found Jesus. Oh, how we say in our hearts, I got smarter. I stopped doing the things I did once before and now I'm doing this. Oh, how we want to say in our hearts that we've turned to Jesus, that I've accepted Jesus in my heart. You know, I got to say this. I just got to say this. We brought out in Friday night's Bible study, it's not what preachers say all the time, it's what they don't say. Many of preachers come to the people and they say, you got to accept Jesus in your heart. And you do. But they don't tell the people that you won't accept Jesus until He moves in. Until He gives you a heart that's accepting. Until He gives you a heart that's willing. And He gives this to those that He loves. And only to those that He loves.
Amen.
It's not always what a preacher says. It's what they don't say. Oh, how we want to say, I accept you in my heart. And, well, maybe not today. Next week, maybe.
Right.
But it's Sunday football. Mm-hmm. How about Wednesday night? Can I accept you in my heart Wednesday night? Is that a good? Is that good? We want to say these things in our heart as though salvation is no more than something offered. I'm here to tell you this morning, folks, as I will tell you on Friday night when you sit in the Bible study room, or Sunday morning when you sit here in this room to hear the Bible study here, I will tell you this and tell you this and tell you this. Salvation is of the Lord.
Right.
And of Him alone.
Yes.
It's not something that is to be accepted or rejected. Because of our nature, we will reject it. Not one person here today who knows the Lord is dwelling in their hearts this very moment. Not one person. Not one of us were looking for the true and living God when we first heard the true gospel preached. Oh, some of us have heard things preached, that's for sure. But it wasn't until God came into our hearts and gave us a new heart that willingly we came to Him and that we received Him in our hearts. We were looking for something, maybe something to ease our guilty conscience. Something to satisfy our pride, our self-esteem. But we weren't seeking the true and living God. Does this relate to you? Can you hear these words I'm about to read and say, yep, that was me? John, in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 40, we read these words, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Every true child of God knows that they would not come to God. What about these words? Romans 3:11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Our problem at one time was, and still is in some degrees, self-righteous pride. Self-righteous pride. One who says, I'll not have that one who rules over me, rule over me, because I am the ruler of my own destiny, is prideful. That's the essence of pride in the heart. We come into this world thinking more of ourselves than we truly are. This is what we read in John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, that lusts of the flesh and lust of the eyes and pride of life. Right there. Pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Turn over to Genesis chapter 3, if you would, for a moment. Genesis chapter 3. Let's take a look at the fall of mankind, and may God give us an understanding of our state in this world. Look with me at verses 1 through 5 of Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not utterly die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. Did you see that little g? Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now go back to our text. 1 Corinthians. Folks, the devil had it right. He actually told the truth there. But like I told you a moment ago, it's not always what that preacher or that man or that person says, it's what they're not saying that you got to be watchful for. The soul never dies. After we cross the Jordan, after we leave this world, there will be one of two places man's spirits will remain for all eternity. He'll either, or she'll either be in hell, separated from the presence of our great Creator, forever damned because of the sin creatures that we are, or will be in heavenly bliss, continually singing praises at the feet of our Savior for His mercy and love toward us. Mankind will not come to God because of our pride, is what He says in His Word. Because we know good from evil. The devil had it right. We will never die. As far as the soul is concerned. He had it right. We will know good from evil. Because we know good from evil, we think that we can tell the difference. Now, think about that for a minute, folks. All the confusion and chaos that we live in this world around us, isn't it because one person over here thinks this is good, another one over here thinks this is good? Oh no, that's bad. Oh, that's good. This is bad. This is good. We think we can tell the difference. We all know that there's some bad. I was mentioning in some Bible study earlier, if you think about why there are so many different religions, it's because so many people realize there's something bad and they need something to save themselves from it. Yeah. We think that we can tell the difference. We think that we know better. Pride tells us that our way is right. All you got to do is think about history for a moment. You can see that did not the Germans think their way was right? Did not the other people over here, the Huns, think their way was right? Did not the Japanese think their way was right? Do not Americans think their way is right? And wars start up over it. We know good from evil, so we think. We think that we know what our way is right, and that's why we reject the truths of God. God's ways are not man's ways. He's so far above us, we can't even imagine the perfection, the wonder of His wisdom in creation, and the fall of man, and the salvation of man. We can't even imagine His wisdom behind all of that. We reject His truths. Our nature is to say that that can't be right. What do you mean total depravity? That can't be right. How can that be right? I'm not as bad as that guy who ate people. Does that not what a pride heart would say? I would never do that. God says we're totally depraved. That if it wasn't for His gracious hand, all men would walk their own way in evil and wickedness. We say because we think that we know what's right, that unconditional election, that can't be right. How can that be right? How can God choose His people and we can't make the choice ourselves? Because your nature is sin.
Yeah.
That's what we are. Leave me to myself and I'll go off and watch football instead of come to church and praise my Lord for His mercy and grace.
Yeah.
Leave me to myself and I'll ride that Harley somewhere all over the place and not praise my Lord on the day of worship.
Yeah.
Put whatever you want in there. And you know I'm telling the truth. You know it because you know it in your heart. God has revealed it to you in your heart, the very same thing.
Yeah.
Because we think we're right. We say, limited atonement? Oh, that can't be right. That's not fair. The blood of God has to be for everybody. It's your fault you don't choose God. He died for you. Let's take the blood of God and stick it under your foot and crush it. Say His blood is worthless. I tell you this morning, there is power in the blood of God. Power to hold us up. Power to keep us.
Yes, amen.
That's the Word of God. Because we think we know what's right, we say, irresistible grace, don't tell me that I have to take it. No, you're not telling me that I have to take His grace. I don't want it right now. Okay, you'd be left to yourself. Well, God wants you. He's going to bring you to Him.
Yeah.
It's so irresistible that John Reeves started coming every Sunday afterwards. And then started coming Friday nights just to hear more of it. Just to hear more. And then I started preaching about His grace. And I love to tell you about His grace. That's how irresistible it is. We're so smart. We think that we're not kept by His power. That we have to do something. Something to keep us saved. Our Lord says that you're kept by His power, not by ours. Perseverance of the saints, absolute truth. Listen to these verses. I'm going to read several to you. If you have Bibles, I'll try to give you a little break if you'd like to read along with me. But there are several verses. If you'd like afterwards, I'll be happy to give them to you in writing so you can read them on your own. But I'm going to begin with verse 36, or chapter 36 of Psalm, verse 11. And to those who have ears, our Lord puts it this way. He that hath an ear, let him hear.
Yeah.
In Psalms 36, verse 11, we read these words. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. Now go forward a little bit to Psalms 59. Psalms 59, verse 12. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride.
Yeah.
and for cursing and lying which they speak. Now let's go forward again to Psalm 73. Psalms 73. Verse 6. Psalm 73, verse 6. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. I began this message talking to you about pride being one of our worst enemies. God's word is telling us this very point right now through his word. Let's continue on. The next one I'd like to read is Proverbs 8. We've got four more, so bear with us, folks. I want to give people a chance to read along with me on these. Don't ever take the pastor's word or the man before you preaching. You know, all we are is men. We can make mistakes bigger than anybody. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Let me repeat that. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate, saith the Lord. Skip ahead further to Proverbs 11, verse 2. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with lowly is wisdom. That word lowly is talking about a broken and contrite heart. We speak a little bit about this in Friday night's Bible study. God is the one who must break the heart. God is the one who must make it contrite. That means crush it. Yeah. Did you know he crushed his son for our sakes? God must crush the heart. Now one more. Let's see, did I read, was that verse 18 of Proverbs 16?
No.
No, okay, let's go forward. Two more verses. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Proverbs 16, verse 18. And then we'll read one more in Proverbs after that. 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, one more, if you would, turn over to Proverbs 29, verse 23. 29, verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. A humble spirit is one that has been humbled by him. Our text says, of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God hath made unto us. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us. In other words, he's made Jesus Christ unto us, these four points that we're considering. If we have been chosen unto salvation, we are in him. To be in Christ Jesus is to have wisdom in him. It's to have knowledge of him. It is to know that he is our wisdom, as we brought out in last week's. It's not to be wise in our own understanding. Don't ever fall for that. Oh, you know who God is now, so you just trust in that alone as your salvation. Folks, trust in Jesus.
Yeah.
Because we battle the flesh every day. And we will until we pass over that Jordan. We have a peace now, but when Jeffrey got to heaven, he had real peace. When we cross over into eternity, we'll have real peace. We're not to be wise in our understanding, but to see he is our wisdom, and such as such he is our righteousness, it says. That's today's subject. Lord willing, in 2 weeks, because Norm and Nancy will be here next week, and Norm will be preaching both messages. 2 weeks from now, Lord willing, I'll bring justification, and then the week after that, redemption. But I want to bring out how we can see in all of these things, these 4 points our Lord has listed here, that it is in Him and Him alone. Turn, if you would, over to Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to read several scriptures this time. If you'll allow me to read through these scriptures for you, I'd appreciate it due to time. In Romans 8, we're going to look at Romans 5, so I'm going to read it. Romans 8. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Everything we do in this body is still full of sin. That includes our minds. That includes our hands, our feet. Whatever it is we do, whatever it is we feel, is still riddled with sin. But Jesus resides in the hearts of His people. That's why He has to cut out that old stony heart. Cut it away. Throw it out. Get rid of it. And give us a new heart. It's called being born again. You must be born again. Why? Because God's not going to live in that old stony heart. And He resides in the hearts of His people. That's the temple. The temple built without hands. That's where righteousness lies. It's righteousness that's in Him. Romans chapter 3 verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. In Romans 10 verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Galatians chapter 2 verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, writes Paul, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead and in vain. If we could do something, if there was anything we could do, then we wouldn't need Christ's blood, would we? That simply means that if you could obtain righteousness by doing good, then the blood of Christ was shed for no reason at all. Philippians 3:9, and be found in Him, found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, writes Paul, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, which is of God by faith. Excuse me, getting excited here. Two more. 2 Peter, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, declaring who he is, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Not to them who have done good works, not to them who have done this or done that, but who have obtained, received, been given the gift of faith. Like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now let's read together from Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 17. Romans chapter 5. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, in verse 18, as it says, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know, I've thought about that very word, what it just says there. I thought about that as, do we get better as we go along? No, but I can tell you this, as I go along, the more I see my sin.
Yeah.
As I walk this path that God has before me, I see my sin greater and greater and greater than I ever have before. But I also see this, the sweet and sour part of that is, my Lord took my sins upon Himself, and He took them into the grave, and He left them there. And I see His grace greater than I ever saw it before. Greater than I saw it last week. Greater than I saw it when I first got up this morning.
I love that. Yeah.
Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death. Now get this, folks. We're talking about righteousness. They're talking about it being of God through Him. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord willing, two Sundays from now, we'll look at our text, at this text also in regard to the word justification. But for now, let's close with these thoughts. In our text of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says these words, but of Him, of God, of the Father, are ye in the Son, Christ Jesus, who of God the Father is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. He who wrote our names before a star ever twinkled in the sky, He who scribed our names in the palms of His hand, that's a picture of our Lord hanging on His cross with every one of His people in Him.
Yeah.
He who scribed the names of all of His elect in the palms of His darling Son has made His Son, Jesus Christ the Lord, to be our wisdom. We don't trust in our feelings. We don't trust in our thoughts. We have no confidence in the flesh. That's everything you see before me. Everything you see standing before you is the flesh. If you could see my heart, though, you would see the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling there, as He does in all of His people. Doesn't matter how low I have to go in this world, I still know who my Lord is. I share an example with you that my dad had a bad disease. It was, I don't remember the name of it, but it had the effects of Alzheimer's. It had the effects of dementia. It had the effects of Parkinson's. All three of them. And he had it for like 10 years before he finally died. And in the last 3 years before he died, he didn't even know who my mother was. The woman that he had been married to for 35 years, who are you? Once in a great while, he would say, oh, yeah. When I would say, Dad, this is John. Oh, yeah. Like he knew what it was. He was at the lowest point of his physical life I think any man could be, not knowing who anybody is.
Yeah.
This is going to bless you. Pastor Gene and Judy agreed to come up to the house. I think it was like 3 or 4 months before Dad died, and have communion. And we didn't know. You know, Dad couldn't swallow. The only thing he could take in through the mouth was liquid form. He couldn't take anything solid. And Gene came up, and Lee and Shirley were there, and I was sitting next to him, and I can't remember if it was me or who, but one of us asked Dad. He said, Dad, do you know what's going on here? And he sat up. I mean, he was just a frail, skinny, thin man. He sat up. I knew what's going on.
Oh.
He didn't know anybody that was with him, but he knew what was going on.
Yeah.
God gave him remembrance of who he was.
Yeah.
Not Dad, but God.
Yeah.
And then as soon as it was all over, he went right back into the stupor, and 3 months later, I think it was, he died.
Mm-hmm.
Our Lord will never let us go. When we are at our lowest point that we could think we would be, we as God's children will remember this. And we'll remember it because God is going to give us the remembrance. He is Lord. And no matter what's going on to me right now in this world, my Lord rules everything. Yes. I lost my place. He made His Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our righteousness. Every step He took, every thought He had was perfect. He has made Him to be our justification. He has made Him to be our redemption. We have been brought to see the foolishness of self-righteousness, the foolishness of self-pride. And by the way, there's no such thing as self-righteousness in the flesh. There is none. It says in Romans 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Are we not filled with praise, glorifying His name for this saying, but God? When you think of those words, does it bring blessings to your heart? But God? I'm stumbling, Lord, but God.
Yeah.
My mind went the wrong way, but God. Oh, how these words ring out in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Folks, we who are in Christ have a perfect righteousness right now. God looks down upon you and I and He sees us perfect. He sees the blood of His Son. When He looks at the heart of this man standing before you, when He looks at the heart of you folks who belong to Him, He doesn't see that sinful flesh that you're walking around in this world with. He sees the blood of His Son. He sees the person, His child, washed in the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus. We're in Him. When He became flesh and walked this earth perfectly for the 33 years, every dot was dotted. Every thought was perfect. Every act He committed pleased the Father, for He was perfect in every way. And you and I are in Him. When He went to that cruel cross, His perfect blood was shed that we would be perfect in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read these words, for He, the very same He that we read back there in our text, that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him, that very one right there, He hath made Him, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Can you get a grip on that? I love that. Can you get a grip on that? Can you wrap a mind around that? We have the righteousness of God in Him. He is my righteousness, and that righteousness I once thought was of me, I willingly throw out now as dung.
Yes.
All the good things that John used to think of himself was nothing but waste.
Yeah.
He was nothing but filthy, vile dung. Lord, I have nothing. I am nothing of this world. Oh Lord, let me be found in Thee. Wash me in Thy Spirit, O Lord, and I shall be clean.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bill, I'd like